Well, good morning, everyone. So we had a good break. Edmonton, Calgary, got back Wednesday night safely. So thanks for letting us go. And it was all family and tons of visits and tons of food and all that kind of stuff. So I think we need a vacation after our vacation, as you probably know, when you do all this visiting and eating all the time. But it's great. I had a special little time with my mom, one-on-one visit with her. Always good to see her. 91, going on 92, and she's doing great. And losing dad this last year, I think she's doing wonderful. So we thank the Lord for that. And you can pray for Cheryl. She woke up with a migraine. So something's happening with the pressure out there, I think. Something's warming up. So, okay. So thanks, Rhonda, for pitching in for her this morning. Well, call this morning out to Rhonda. So, all right, well, let's pray, and then we're going to dig in here. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us as we've been singing. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts for transformation, for change. And Lord, as we look at this story of your encounter with this leprous man, may we learn from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was an atheist, and he was walking through the woods. And he was saying things like, how wonderful the mountains are, how majestic the trees, how wonderful the rivers, how beautiful the animals. And as he was walking along the river, he heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. And turning to look, he suddenly saw a 7-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. And he ran as fast as his legs could take him down the path away from the bear. He looked over his shoulder and he saw this grizzly bear closing in fast. And somehow he ran even faster, and so scared, tears are running down his eyes, and he looked again and the bear was even closer. His heart was pounding. He tried to run faster, but then he tripped, and then he fell to the ground. He rolled over to pick himself up, but the bear was right over him, reaching for him with his left paw and raising his right paw to strike him. And at that moment, the atheist cried, "Oh my God!" Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. And even the river stopped moving. As a bright light shined upon the man, a voice came out of the sky saying, "You deny my existence for all these years, and you expect me to help you out of your predicament? Am I to count you a believer?" The atheist looked directly into the light and says, "I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years. Perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." This is not a true story. "Very well," said the voice. The light went out, the river ran, the sounds of the forest resumed. Then the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed its head, and spoke, "Lord, for the food I am about to receive, I am truly thankful." Well, that made me laugh one day in my office, so I couldn't help but use it. Whatever makes me laugh, I think I'll make you laugh. But I realized, you know, there is a serious side to this silly story. Because it isn't just atheists who need to learn to be truly grateful to God. We all need to learn to be grateful to God. So as we begin this new year, it might be easier to come up with a list of things to complain about. What do you think? Have you made your list of complaints already? We won't ask for them now. But I'll list a few things, and I know it's on your mind. The fourth wave is upon us, number one. Number two, Christmas may not have been as great as you expected. And perhaps as you look at your world around you, you can't find too many things to thank God about. I'm not sure if I'm right, but I'll put it out there. So there's a little verse tucked in 1 Thessalonians that says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." That's the New Living Translation. Now, when you hear verses like this, you might mutter something under your breath, maybe. "Lord, do you know what planet we're living on? It's really hard to be thankful sometimes." Now, we're going to circle back to that verse in a moment, but actually this morning I want to focus on Jesus' encounter with a leprous man, a Samaritan man whom Jesus healed. And you probably know the story well. The story is actually meant to shock you. If you grew up in the church, you're rather used to this character, but it's meant to shock you because no one is expecting that Jesus would portray, or Luke would portray, a leprous Samaritan as the example. He is the one who's held up to be the example of faith and gratitude. So it's Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. I'm not going to read it, but I'll just tell you the story. So Jesus, as you know, encountered 10 leprous men on his way to Jerusalem. He's on this journey. And he happened to be traveling between the border of Samaria and Galilee. So these 10 lepers, they see Jesus from a long distance. And then they cried out to him. They couldn't get close because they're lepers. And they say, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us." Now, clearly these lepers found Jesus to be approachable because they're going toward him, even though they were at a distance. Clearly they heard about Jesus. They heard about his miracles. They heard about his kindness. Something about Jesus is drawing them to him. In fact, this miracle would be the fourth of five miracles of Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And so they've heard about something going on. And these lepers were, of course, desperate to be healed, to get out of the predicament. The Bible calls them lepers. Leprosy is in the Bible, is actually a very general term for all kinds of skin diseases. But it led to an even greater problem. And that was, of course, social isolation. They were square pegs in a society of round holes. They did not fit. And so they were desperate not just to get physically healed, but to become part of society once again. That's a huge problem. So hearing their cry for mercy, Jesus simply said, "Go show yourself to the priest." There's no real fanfare here. Basically, a visit to the priest was the normal procedure for anyone who was cured of a disease. And the priest would be able to declare them ceremonially clean again. But without even being touched by Jesus, incredibly, as they went away, all 10 of them were healed. Now, wouldn't that be a nice way to begin your new year? All your ailments healed. But the story turns when only one of the 10 men who were healed came back and thanked Jesus. He never even made it to the priest. As soon as he knew he was healed, he turns around, returned to Jesus, praising God, throwing himself at Jesus' feet, and he's thanking Jesus. Now, before we focus on this all-important response, we need to say something else about this man's character, or sorry, his identity. He's not just a leper. As I said, he's a Samaritan. And being a Samaritan, through the perspective of the Jews, he is considered simply a dirty foreigner, some outcast. But it was precisely this foreigner, this leprous foreigner, who returned to thank Jesus. And when he came back to Jesus, Jesus asked, were not all 10 men healed? Weren't all of them cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus emphasizes his other identity. And then he turned to the man and said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, we're not told what happened to the other 9 men, except for the fact we know they were healed. To be healed from leprosy was absolutely life-changing for them. Life-changing. And I'm sure they were all ecstatic. They were able to return home to see their families again, because they were no longer stigmatized. They were clean. But they lacked something that the Samaritan man had. You see, these 9 lepers were pleased, but they lacked gratitude before God. Let me say that again. They were pleased, but they lacked gratitude before God. They were not thankful to Jesus, their healer. But Jesus goes further than this. He tells the Samaritan man, "Your faith has made you well." Now, what does that really mean? Jesus is saying that although all 10 experienced the blessing of healing, only this man demonstrates faith in Jesus. When he turns back to Jesus, he worships Jesus. He establishes his allegiance, his ties with Jesus, indicating the presence of salvation. When this man returns to Jesus, 3 actions. You saw 3 actions, right? First of all, he praises God. Secondly, he drops down on his feet, before Jesus' feet, on his knees, in an act of worship. And then he's thanking Jesus. And these are all signs of faith. So even though this man is the complete outsider, I mean, all the lepers are outsider, but he's the outsider of the outsider because he's a Samaritan man too. He is showing us the reach of God's grace to anyone who trusts Jesus. His reach is incredible. All kinds of people are blocked off in society back then and even now, but Jesus is showing the extent of his reach in his love. His salvation extends even to those whom society rejects and whose society gives up on. But the gratitude of the Samaritan man represents the necessary response of faith in God's miraculous work. He doesn't just get healed. He returns to worship Jesus. If it were not for the healing power of Jesus, he would not be healed and he would remain in isolation. But this man understood that what Jesus has done for him and expressed his faith in God by giving thanks to God and worshiping him. So the question is, what do we learn from this story? Nice story, but what about us? What does it mean for us? You know, during this Christmas season, I'm quite sure you received a few gifts from your loved ones, right? And I bet when you received a gift, you probably said, "Thank you." Or at least that's what my mom taught me to do, right? Say thank you. Thank you to the person who gave you the gifts, right? Look them in the eye. Say thank you. Right? Something like that. Now, in our family, we decided to switch things up because we're all getting older. So we have no little ones. And so we switched to choosing names. And so you just get one gift, right? And so one of my daughters got my name, as I discovered, I guess correctly. I knew it was her. And then I received my gift from her. And it was very special. And it was because, well, first of all, she was so pleased to give me this gift. Here it is, Dad. Big smile, gave it to me. Big hug. And of course, these days, out comes the camera, selfie camera. So somewhere in her archives, there's a shot of me and her smiling away, right? And gave her a big hug and said, "Thank you, dear." And I know you did something similar, right? You did something similar. You acknowledge the giver because you love them. But in this story of the 10 lepers, we learn that before God, many people are pleased when good comes their way, but their lives are not necessarily marked by gratitude before God. And there's a huge difference. When good comes your way, you might be pleased, but do you recognize the source of all that is good, all the fortunes, all the blessings that come your way? Do we live an attitude of gratitude before God, or are we simply waiting for good fortunes to come our way to make ourselves happy? Now, let's identify the pleased but unthankful person. Well, first of all, people who are pleased but unthankful are only pleased because something good came their way. It's possible to be pleased and never recognize Jesus. The other 9 men were like this. They were pleased by the healing. They were no doubt pleased to be able to associate with their friends and family once again. But they were only pleased because good fortune came their way. They did not demonstrate faith because they did not recognize and thank the source of God's mercy in Jesus. Secondly, pleased but unthankful people live their lives for personal happiness. Now, in this story, we learn that the truly thankful person is the one who recognizes that Jesus is the source of life and gratification. Now, these 9 lepers seem only concerned about getting healed. God shows his grace to us in many ways. He provides the very air we breathe. He provides us shelter and employment that we need. And as we learn in this story, his healing mercy reaches out even to those whom society rejects. But this does not necessarily lead people to acknowledge God's grace and give praise to him, because they're more focused on personal gratification and not the giver. You know, when the Samaritan man turned around to face Jesus, his life would never be the same. And so he praised God. He fell down at Jesus' feet in an act of worship. He gave thanks to Jesus. And as we said before, all these 3 actions are actions of faith and trust in Jesus as his healer and redeemer. But you see, we need to understand that these actions of faith are to be continued in the life of a follower of Jesus. It's not just a one-time thing. Because when we give praise to God, when we thank him, when we worship him, it reestablishes our relationship with God on its proper terms. Praise, worship, thanksgiving daily renews our relationship with God as our Creator, Healer, and Redeemer. Without Him, we are really nothing, right? So let's circle back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This time I'm going to read 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So these verses remind us to rejoice and thank God in some circumstances. Now, it's not what it says. It says all circumstances. James said the same thing in James chapter 1. Consider it all joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds. So when we stop worshiping God, when we stop praising God and thanking God, your relationship with God might be out of sorts. Think about that. When you find yourself only waiting for the right circumstances to bring you joy and to improve your happiness, and you're not praising God, it's a sign that you're not too focused on Christ. Think about that. You know, if you're anything like me, when things don't go well, sometimes I get discouraged. And I do not automatically, in those moments, break out into song and dance. Okay? I am tempted to be grumpy. In fact, let me be honest. Even when things are going well, okay? Let's think about the positive side. When things are going well, I also don't automatically turn to song and dance. What about you? You know what I mean? I'm also not automatically necessarily praising God. I'm just tempted to be pleased that things are going well. In fact, I'm tempted even to take credit for how things are going well. Then I realized how profound Paul's verses are. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So do you hear what he's saying? If you are in Christ Jesus, giving thanks to him is God's will for you. It is what Christians do or ought to do. Because in Jesus Christ, he has absolutely given us everything. And we have been given every reason to worship him and adore him, no matter what the circumstances are, both good and bad. So sometimes we think all circumstances, we mean, well, just the bad circumstances. But no, he's saying in everything, are you praising God? As we begin this new year, we have to know and understand why praise and worship and thanksgiving is so important. And, I mean, I could list you a whole list of reasons why, but let me give you two. Why we need to praise him. First of all, because God is great and worthy of our praise. Psalm 103, 1-5. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Well, there's a half a dozen things right there and more. So these nine lepers were healed but never turned back to worship and praise Jesus. But we must, because Jesus Christ is absolutely worthy of our praise and worship, isn't he? He is worthy, the song goes. But for us, praise recalibrates our relationship with him. It sets things in the proper order. He is God, I am not. He is worthy, I am not. He's given me life, I have received life. He's the giver of life, of salvation, of everlasting hope. And only Jesus makes us whole. That's what happened to the leper and the Samaritan man. He received more than physical healing. He was made whole. Secondly, why we praise and worship and thank God. Through praise, we experience God's presence. It's like a gift to us. There are wonderful benefits to giving praise to God and thanking Him. Now, we know that God is everywhere. We also know that God gave us His Holy Spirit when we became Christians. And so we know that He is present with us. But sometimes, we don't always experience God's presence, do we? But God invites us actually to enter that presence. And praise and thanksgiving are like a doorway to God's presence. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." And so the psalmist, King David probably, is saying, when you enter into the house of the Lord, quite literally for them back then, there was the house of the Lord, but he says, begin with praise and thanksgiving. Break the doors open by giving praise to God. It's like a doorway. And so it takes a little bit of effort on our part to experience Him. Whatever mood you're in, however you feel, good or bad, we need to begin to praise Him in the morning and each day. And so as you begin your day, begin with the Lord each day. And on Sundays, as you get together with the Lord's people, as the body of Christ, intentionally take the time to praise and thank Him. There's a reason why we sing songs, right? There's a reason why we praise Him. And maybe we take it for granted, but we need to intentionally worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, sometimes we think praise and worship can be skipped. Because we think, well, it's just kind of a waste of time. Well, actually not. It's commanded of us. When we worship in spirit and truth, a spiritual recalibration takes place. And reminded you again and again, and believe me, we need these reminders that God is God. And He's on the throne. He's in charge. And He's amazing. And He's loving, and He's merciful, and He cares. And you need Him desperately. Without Him, we are nothing, John tells us. Everything you are, everything you have, is because of Christ. And when you spend time praising God, it's like this gateway, and then you continue on in this spirit of worship before Him. And then you ask Him stuff. And then you listen to His voice. And then you ask Him to guide the rest of your day as He speaks to you through His word. It's like a gateway to God's presence. And so praise and thanksgiving is the gateway to experiencing God. Because by faith, by doing so by faith, we acknowledge that our life is not about me, but it's about God. It's not about you, but it's about Jesus. All He is and all that He's done and will continue to do. So let me encourage you this morning to begin your new year praising Him. And not just beginning, but continue to do this every day. It's a gift. It's a gift that when we receive and then we obey and then we take, God will bless you with His presence. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for all who you are and all that you have done and what you will continue to do. Lord, help us to be people who take time to say thank you. Not just mouthing words, but deep within the heart, recognizing that you are God and that we so need you. And so we ask by your Holy Spirit that you would speak deep into our own hearts a deep conviction to choose to praise you in each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. I invite you to stand with us and join us as we close.